Sat Pod, back for another week on our supposedly regular Tuesday day.
On a regular Tuesday. The streak begins again.
All three of us again. Brando, Scotty, Warren. Talk some wrestling. A better Raw this week, boys.
Three-man pod.
Yeah. A little bit this week than it has been in recent weeks. I did nothing this week. I don't know about you guys.
No. All the people are like, oh, I'm going back to school, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah, I'm still getting used to those school zones kicking in.
Yeah, I know.
All of a sudden, there's all these fuckers on the train. I'm like, what are you guys doing on here? Like, this is my transit.
Brando got a ticket today.
I did. I got a ticket coming here. I was changing my iPod music at a red light.
Ooh.
And they got me back.
That could have been deadly.
Driving.
Ridiculous. And then he got mad at him for wearing his hat backwards.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Well, I did the right thing, though.
Yeah, I turned it around. I was like,
well, that's the thing. Like if you were like tatted up and like piercings and a whole bunch of shit, then, but still, like, really, my hat's backwards. So what? You can see my face better with my hat backwards, sir.
I'm less likely to commit a crime.
What year is it?
Yeah, Brandon's like the most non-threatening guy. Because normally he wears his hat frontways.
Well,
I'm looking at him with his cap backwards. I'm like, nope, still Brando.
It's a green Sunfire, too. Like, it's not like you're driving a Lambo or
Just putting along, stopped at a red light when I changed my music. This guy's trouble.
You're a better man than I, though, because I would not have turned my hat around. I'd be like, what? No.
Oh, really?
What the fuck are you doing?
But you know they're just going to get you for something else, too.
You're right, but my stubbornness would prevent me from...
You just fork over
mine
the cash?
Too, probably. Because
they'd probably give you... No, because I'm like, my pride is not worth the $100 non-compliance ticket they would have tacked on. I'm like,
I guess.
Whatever you want.
I don't have the foresight for that, though.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I know, because it's a big day today, so we're going to try and do this quick, because we got Destiny.
Big video game day.
Came out.
Our second love. Yeah, our second love.
And NHL, so.
I'm probably not getting either until Friday. I'm sitting there being like, oh, I got to finish Last of Us Remastered, though.
So. Scotty, the video
still
game
still plugging
guy.
Away at that, eh?
I just put it down.
That game is not long.
No, I know.
It's not short,
day,
but it's
I was
not
like,
long.
I'm definitely in the last act.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's four seasons, so if you're in the fourth season,
I'm in fall going into winter again.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I have no idea. I didn't play Remastered. I played the original Ray when it came out.
Excellent. Great game, though.
So we'll be playing video games for a week solid.
So next week will be, what did you do? Destiny.
Yeah, we've already covered that for the next week's podcast.
It was funny because I was like, before the show, I was like, Brando, I might not get Destiny. He just looks at me, he's like, you're the video game guy of the show. You're not going to get the one major milestone game.
Like, literally, especially with all the
this
shitty
is a big
games
one.
That
yeah.
have been out lately, it's like all of a sudden one of the good ones comes out. Guys go, like, oh, I'm not sure.
I'm going to skip this one.
Let me tell you about Killer Instinct, though.
Nah.
Have you been playing it?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Just making fun of you.
Oh. Yeah. Season 2 is coming out.
Great.
Yes.
Is that more fighters? Is that what that means?
Yeah, more fighters.
Okay. I only have one fighter on my Killer Instinct copy. Yeah.
It's a free guy?
Yeah.
Didn't even download it. On your recommendation.
Yeah, Brando. It's not very good. Well, you have to pay if you want any more than the one dude.
Which seems silly. Yeah.
Every time I see a free-to-play game, I'm like,
yeah. And then you get one guy.
And then you're like,
here's your one tank or something.
And don't
like
you fight the same guy, too? Like, you fight yourself and
you'd
that's
have
it?
To fight yourself, yeah.
Great. That sounds like a lot of fun. Okay. Raw.
On to wrestling.
From Baltimore. The Baltimore Arena. I didn't hear them name it, so I'm going to call it Baltimore Arena, which I think
I thought
is
it was
accurate.
The Ray Rice Arena.
Yeah, well, it might be.
It might be.
Current event.
They're going to name it now.
Yeah, but Baltimore, Ravens and the Ray Rice thing. If you haven't heard about it.
Aren't you a Ravens guy?
Pick that rock up from over your head. Yes, I am a big Ravens fan. Sad, but good riddance,
don't
I guess.
You have a Lewis jersey.
Yeah.
Did you hear they're doing exchanges?
Didn't they just make a big statue of that guy?
No, Ray Lewis.
Oh, that's Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
Imagine if they would have made one of Ray Rice, been like, whoa, we did not have the foresight for this.
Yeah, no, they're taking exchanges. Bring your jersey in, and we'll give you a refund or another jersey or whatever.
Jersey, yeah,
I saw sidetrack a little bit. I saw a picture today that somebody had shared on Twitter, and it was of a little girl wearing a Ray Rice jersey, but they had like made like tape letters on the back of it, so it said still had the 27 on there, and the ICE was still visible, but they put be nice. Two women on the back of the jersey. Made me laugh. I thought that was quite clever. But
better use of
a
jersey.
He's a sick man. He's a sick man. I don't know what else there is to be said about him that hasn't
already. His wife came out and defended
him. Yeah,
today.
That's almost even worse.
Yeah.
Just because.
It's like very Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown.
Yeah. I mean, young girls looking up to her that see that and think, Well, she says it's okay, so it must be okay, and it's not. It's disgusting. Did you guys watch the video?
No.
No.
It's.
I don't really have any interest in it. I'm not enough big of enough NFL mark to be like, oh, what happened here?
This one kind of transcends NFL, though.
It does.
This is just bad humanitarian.
It's one of those ones where you watch it and you just get angry. You just want to beat the piss out of the guy for doing it. No. I hate it. I wouldn't recommend watching it. Honestly, I would.
His wife isn't a looker, though, to be fair.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe the date.
Less so now.
That's a great point. That left straight.
Mm-hmm.
Ruined. Okay.
That's she came at him.
There's our current event.
Did she?
I don't know. I haven't seen the video.
Or did she come at him?
Yeah, she did. Which leads me to think that this is not the first time that's happened either.
Yeah, well, maybe good
because
for her.
Because if I walked
up
to you and punched you in the face, you'd probably be like, what the hell? Or like, kind of just like take a second, whereas she instantly lunged at him. So
maybe it's like, maybe they're into it. Maybe it's like a sexual thing.
That crossed my mind.
Punched me in the face.
But he knocked her cold, though.
Yeah.
He knocked her out?
Dragged her out of the elevator.
She was unconscious,
and,
yeah.
Oh.
Horrible.
Well, this took a turn. See, I thought it was just like, he slapped his broad up. He slapped a dame up. Whatever.
One shot. Knocked her.
Oh.
Yeah, it was not good.
Well, this took a sad turn.
Thank God there's never been any such things in wrestling.
Yeah.
They always cut away from the woman violence here in Canada.
Do you remember when that one guy had a gimmick where he was like allegedly beating his girlfriend in the WWF in the 90s?
No.
Or no, this is early 2000s. This is the Attitude Era.
Hmm.
Wasn't Chris Candido? Oh, fuck. Some listener's going to
Chris
ring
Canyon?
Me.
Are you talking about? Or Canyon or whatever that was.
Yeah, Eric Canyon. Yeah, it was Eric Canyon or whatever.
Hmm.
Yeah, he had a gimmick for a little bit, and then everyone, like Bob Holly, and everyone's like beating him up in the locker room, and then like JR and King are like, oh, he beat up his girlfriend, and then JR's like, allegedly beat up his girlfriend.
We'll file that under stuff you will never see again. On wrestling.
That Randy Orton RKOing Trish Stratus video is making like
Keebler.
It's reruns.
Stacey Keebler.
Or Stacey Keebler, was that who it was? Yeah. I'm not sure. I thought it was Trish Stratus.
I thought it was Stratus.
100% Stacey Keebler.
Oh, I was going to say Scott Steiner and Stacey Keebler as some womanizing shit.
It was just after the Scott Steiner.
Where they go to like kiss and then he.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because they'd been teasing that romance for a good month and then that was the.
They can't tease me with shit anymore.
The climax. Okay. We're starting to show. Okay, they did this like
last
it's
week,
the season premiere, so
giving you a big cage
they did
match.
This whole like actual television program intro with the big voiceover guy.
This
coming
week
up,
on
oh,
Raw,
yeah,
the season premiere. Catch John Cena.
Why can't we just have the usual Raw intro? We haven't seen that in how long?
Why
don't even remember the last
pyro
time we saw
for the
that.
Season. Like, you know, they used to just shit a pyro. Imagine if they did that for the
when
season.
When was the last
premiere?
Time we got an intro video?
I swear it's been over a year.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time I saw the actual pre-produced with the theme song underneath and all the wrestlers.
It was just weird when everything hit. Like, this voice is going, like, not Michael Cole, but the announcer voice is going on saying what's going on. You're like, what? Why is the season premiere of Raw a big deal now?
So
like,
stupid.
If this is a pay-per-view. Whatever, if it was like SummerSlam, and if it was like Hollywood themed and they had like a trailer voice guy, whatever, I'll let that slide. But it was just like, to me, this is just another week of Raw.
Yeah.
Like as a fan.
Well, and they do this every year too, the season premiere.
Yeah, it's
like, I legitimately did not know that. First thing I thought of was like, have they ever called Raw a season premiere?
At least the past, I want to say 3 years for sure. It could stretch longer than that, but. For sure, at least 3 years. So stupid. I agree. Because when did the season end?
Wasn't the finale last week?
When did we see the finale? Exactly. When
like,
was the finale?
Was,
my finale would be WrestleMania.
It was a shitty finale. I'll tell you that.
Like to most fans, I think they would say that the Raw after WrestleMania is like the start of the new season.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Totally
right?
Makes
like,
sense.
Like wrestling wise, or if you want to look at it as a sport, that's the next season. There's no off season or whatever.
Yeah. Very silly.
Your finale would be the big one,
and it means nothing.
No.
How many people do you think
tuned
saw
in?
The words season premiere and tuned in that wouldn't have already tuned in to watch wrestling?
None.
Very, very minuscule.
Yeah. What about someone who's like, I thought, like, just saw, like, just on TV Guide and it was like, Raw, season premiere. And he's like, this could be porn. This could be like a brand new CD show. And he's like, oh, it's wrestling.
No.
Yeah, they got
just,
me.
Just, yeah. The show started good, though. We had the
advertised match.
Jericho, Wyatt in the cage. To
kicking
start
off.
Raw, and this went it wasn't entirely the match, but almost the full first half hour. I think it was at about the 27-28 mark when it finally ended. So
long match, yeah.
Real good
track,
match too.
Yeah, the best they've had.
Exactly. Yeah. And you look back on this feud, and you're just like, "Fuck, where
what
was this?
Could have been.
Where was this?" But this is, I think, they're
this
done
is a
now.
Blow off. This is totally the blow off with the knee.
Well,
if you will.
Yeah, exactly. And Jericho.
But there were a lot of highlight moments on this. So if they were trying to be like, okay, we're competing against football or other TV shows.
Yeah.
They started right by. If somebody's tuning in right at 6, they delivered with like good television or entertaining shit.
Lots of cool spots in this match. Chris Jericho jumps off of the top of the cage, hits a crossbody.
It was a funny moment how it was done too, because he looks down and he sees Rowan and Harper on the outside, which leads to why didn't he just do a crossbody outside then? What a one.
Well,
whatever. That's not here nor there. But I like how he just did a little shrug or whatever. And he's just like, eh, fuck it. And he's 43. And then on Twitter, he said, the last time I did a jump off a cage like that, it was 1993
near
in
Calgary.
Yeah. Or just outside of Calgary.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, that's probably Stampede Wrestling.
Yeah, super cool that he remembers the last time he... I guess it's pretty hard to forget the last time you jump off a cage.
Yeah, it's a pretty big moment
but
in terms
of wrestling.
But
the fact that it's been that long and that he's 43 years old now, ridiculous. I did not think he would do it when he stood up there. I was like, no. They got to find some way to get around this.
Crotch him or something.
It.
Yeah.
It popped me, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Right now.
I didn't think he had one of those in him anymore.
No.
He just wasn't there anymore.
And he's got his whole like music career to think about, too.
Yep.
Like, you can't really tour with a fucking broken back.
Nope.
So, I don't know. Good for him. Putting the body on the line.
I liked a lot about this match. One of the things I didn't like was they had Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho at points. But literally, while both guys were standing, just run for the cage door.
Yeah.
And I was like, what happened to Bray Wyatt?
Yeah.
That
when
now
Bray
he's
Wyatt
just running
ran
for
the
cage
door. I was like, are you fucking serious? Like,
not even crawling.
He should be
like,
crawling, or he should be like the guy to climb over it or whatever. But why would he leave guy he's beating the shit out of?
His upside down crawl would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah. And he was yelling as he approached the door, open it.
Yeah,
like, sound like me if I was in this match.
Yeah, he just
against you.
Like,
yeah, I agree. That was a little odd. The finish was a little weak, too.
Yeah, they kind of beat each other at
he
the door.
He fell off him. He just was like, and I win.
Yeah.
A less than intimidating way for Bray Wyatt
like,
to kind of put a stamp on him.
They were trying to work the knee.
Yep.
But, I don't know, it just seemed a very weak way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends who's into the Wyatt family, who he's a bartender, so he only watches wrestling when he's at work, so he knows very little aside from what I tell him. And he was just like, well, we beat Chris Jericho. Is he like, is the feud 2-3 or something like that? I was like, no, it's 2-1. It's over now. He's like, oh, well, yay. He won a feud finally. And I was like, yep. The last time he like won something was when he beat Kane when they showed up.
Pretty much.
He beat Daniel Bryan.
True.
Now, did he beat Daniel Bryan in the feud though?
In the Rumble. That was there was a one off.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess so. But then he was like a Wyatt for like a night.
Hmm. That was
before the
Rumble, though.
Yeah, that was
before
the Rumble.
Oh, god damn it. My timeline's almost
up. That was the feud.
Yeah, leading up. The build-up.
Oh, okay. No, I guess he beat Daniel Bryan, too, which is my friend's other guy. He likes Daniel Bryan and the Wyatt family.
And since then, he's only done John Cena, right? Until Chris Jericho? There hasn't been anything else in there, has
he? I think you're right. Yep.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah, you're right. After the match, they get Jericho back into the ring. Bray hits his sister Abigail, and that was pretty much it.
Feud's over.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, it goes over, yeah, which was what we wanted, but this was...
Is Jericho hurt? My gut says maybe.
Are you talking shoot?
No, kayfabe.
Yeah, no, I think this is the
kayfabe
end of Jericho.
Kayfabe is fuck, especially
as
after...
As soon as they started working
happens.
The knee after the high spot, I figured that this is how they were writing him off, so I have no...
Slam in the door as a feud finisher? Like, if you want to say, like, what was the last thing? It'd be the sister Abigail and slamming his knee on the... with the cage door. Those would be the two big things, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of big, I guess, for like, oh, shit, he effed up Chris Jericho.
See, and I think he's going to do a program with Orton now.
Yeah, there is that potential as well. I just figured just because they sold it so much. But yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
I think technically he is supposed to work the next pay-per-view, but I figured they might just let him ride off, considering the whole Wyatt thing didn't really pay off for them. But
no, which sucks.
We'll see what happens.
You should go on tour and then come back and put somebody else over.
Why not? Okay, Kane backstage with Seth Rollins talking about how great the cage match was.
And the season premiere, they blatantly were like, this is why this backstage segment was weird for me. Kane is like giggling and really stoked talking to Seth Rollins, and he's just like, the season premiere is going great. I'm like, oh, Kane, you will never scare me ever again.
I know.
Like, corporate Kane has ruined Kane.
Not a big fan. Triple H walks in, congratulates Kane on the great start to Raw. Randy Orton then walks in, says he's going to provide an unforgettable night when he faces Roman Reigns in the main event. He asks Triple H for permission to do it, and Triple H gives it to him. As we were reminded throughout the show, probably no less than 10 times.
Yep.
Brando, you must have been marking out.
For what?
Orton.
I am not a big Orton fan. I defend him against the haters.
Yeah, but now you have
this I bring him to neutral.
Like, I bring him to neutral. Neutral plus one at times.
I just think he's owed his rematch, is all.
Well, there's no disputing that.
No, I'm in agreeance, but we also think it should be expired.
That's true. We did discuss that as well.
I didn't.
I had no say in the expiry.
I should just not pay my ticket, see if it expires.
Sure.
And there's a warrant for Brando.
Let me know how that goes.
Yeah. And then we're like, it's a two-man sat pod.
They like show up to my door. They're like, you have a ticket that's about 2 years old. He's like, you still want that? That's from 2 years ago.
You haven't made your money back yet.
All right. We got Dolph Ziggler comes out to the ring to cut a promo about The Miz. He's talking about the leaks, the celebrity leaks.
A week late.
I was going to say it was the week before. But, he says he has some interesting photos of The Miz. Shows a photo of Miz getting a facial. Not that kind of facial, you sickos.
I didn't.
There was a couple, when he said Miz getting a facial, there was one guy that, obnoxiously laughed close to the camera.
Is it the same guy that you love every show where he's like, kisser?
Yeah, probably.
It's the guy I like to call Is Warren at every live event.
Gotta have that baritone voice.
He shows a picture of him also shaving his chest. Goes to show the third one. Miz interrupts him. Comes out with Damian Mizdow. This was funny.
Yeah.
I bashed it for the past 2 weeks.
Is it growing on you a little bit?
But Sandow again makes a shitty situation into
so much
pure
funnier.
Gold,
yeah.
Which I did not think he could do with this one, but just
his facial expression.
His slight glances over at Miz as he's mimicking
see what
his
he's
every
doing?
Move.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Was
oh, and
this
they're
funny.
Coming down the ramp,
yeah.
Especially.
I
and sometimes
laughing.
He'll be getting it wrong and then he'll like quickly have to change. He's like, oh.
But I think, he gets it wrong on purpose so he can have that comedy. Yeah. My God, did I love this.
And then once
and I have no shame in saying that.
Once they threw the third photo up there with the whole butt thing with Sandow in there.
Yeah.
Sandow's face was just priceless.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, he's making the segment for me
but
right
also
now.
Also still
this.
Looking at Miz to see how he's going to react.
Right,
like,
he's got
to
copy
shocked,
him.
But he's still like, what do we do here?
Miz looked fucking tired.
Oh, fuck. It was great.
But like that aside, this is the most I've ever liked Miz, I think.
Yeah,
like I'm not gonna say I love the guy, but this is
Hollywood.
His
Miz.
Gimmick is more defined now than it used to be, and
exactly,
and having Sandow with him is perfect.
There's like, substance to it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
and that should just be a tag team. I think Dolph Ziggler should go over, and then they should just be a tag team going for the titles because there needs to be more tag teams.
And then you set up the eventual
call it Mizdow.
You set up the eventual breakup where Sandow finally stands up to the bully, and then you have that, and I think that'll help Sandow a little bit.
Or he'll be hosting the pre-show like Alex Riley.
Yeah.
We pretty much just put him in, like, oh, if they do the Alex Riley thing with him, that'll work.
I really like the segment, though.
Me
I got
too.
Excited just when they gave Dolph a mic.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great for Dolph. This is great for the title.
Totally.
It's not just a
he's
match
believable,
that he's,
too.
Oh, yeah,
in the segment, too.
In this kind of campy segment where he has to kind of fake laugh, but it sounded genuine. It sounded like he was having fun ridiculing this guy and getting back at him. Like you say, he shows the third picture where they're spraying spray tan on Miz's ass. Sandow was doing it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Miz threatens to sue Ziggler for invading his privacy.
They did almost word for word the Jennifer Lawrence legal
nice
representative.
Who the fuck is that?
Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
He was like the face of the nude leak.
I don't know who that is, though. I don't know.
He was Mystique.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, there we go.
Find the connection there.
Superhero or something. Yeah. He tries to, Miz tries to, no, sorry. Miz sends Sandow into the ring, who tries to attack Ziggler. Ziggler, like, drop kicks him.
While wearing the Intercontinental Championship. Yes. My markout moment of the night.
Then he tries to attack Miz. Miz runs. Ziggler turns around, hits zigzag on Sandow as Miz backs up the ramp.
I thought Sandow was going to get some offense in here.
Yeah, me like, too.
He's getting off.
Yeah. Yeah, not a bad segment.
No.
Again, you put this last week, probably segment of the night.
Yeah, it's true.
Which is sad.
For this kind of time, in comparison, this kind of like,
it's so good.
This kind of match breaker upper segment, this is what you want all your little tiny 10-minute segments
exactly.
to be like.
This was fine. Yeah. I was totally okay with it. We move on to AJ Lee and Paige taking on the team of Natalya and Rosa Mendez. They were teasing some sort of thing between Natalya and Rosa from Total Divas, which I still haven't watched yet. So,
no.
You know what's sad? I almost watched it last night. I literally was sitting there after Raw going, what should I do tonight? I'm going to play a little bit of video games. Maybe I'll throw something on in the background. And Total Divas almost got it. Instead, I watched Backlash from Edmonton.
That's a good
It's
choice.
Not a bad one to fall back on either.
Oh, for background shit? Yeah. Great. Great stuff.
It was something about Rosa being naked and Natalya was uncomfortable or I don't know.
Wait, that was episode one?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm watching the show. No, I'm just kidding.
Photo show. Yeah, they're working this angle with through the show and in the ring, I guess.
Oh, this reeked of Total Divas on the Natty Rosa side of the tag team.
Where they're doing this whole Natty showing her the ropes kind of thing.
I hate the whole Rosa going, tag me in. And then as soon as she's in, she's like, tag me out.
Yeah, but I think that's what she was going for.
Yeah, oh, they're going for it. It's just hilarious to see because, like, the women's division was getting really good in WWE where you're like, these ladies can go.
When?
Paige, AJ, Natty, Naomi, it was getting up there.
So that it's the same thing we have now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, but then you put in this girl and you're like, oh.
I didn't think this was bad as a match. It was short.
I thought it was okay.
And
it
I think for Divas matches, you're never going to get superb wrestling.
Right.
But I thought the way they had a Total Divas storyline on one side that they got over.
That was cool. I agree
and
with you.
And then they had the Diva feud on the other side, which I thought, I was like, well, that's the good time management.
Good balance of both storylines.
Kind of hidden, unless you were paying attention, the match at Night of Champions is Paige versus AJ versus Nikki.
Yes.
Not versus Brie.
No. I think Brie's going to get her way in there before.
Oh, yeah. She'll
one
either
more
get
Raw?
In the match or she'll just play a factor in the result.
Yeah, one more.
Or she'll show up for the match and they'll think it's Nikki, but really it's Brie.
Hey, I don't think they can pull that
somehow
off.
Somehow your breasts shrunk.
But she never told anyone until now.
No, you can't pull that off anymore.
No.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is when one gets enhancements.
I like the age PG.
AJ. We've been saying PJ for months. The best.
I like the PJ storyline a lot. Whenever they're in the that awkward kind of weird tension.
Like after the match here.
Yeah. I think it's really good. Warren fell asleep.
I did.
I think it's so funny though with like PJ AJ, like Paige's facial expressions, because AJ seems like she's just trying to play a mind game now.
They're both like, really good like facial actors.
Oh, yeah. Like, and just when she's like, oh, you're so cute, she makes this like little scrunched up face. It's the best.
AJ locks in the Black Widow on Rosa after Rosa refuses to tag out to Natalya, and she wins.
AJ steals a blind tag. Yeah. Tagged herself in, because Paige was hogging that offense in this match a little bit.
Well, yeah, that's what they were going for. Yeah.
Y2J.
You want to see Rosa Mendez's bum.
You can.
Main event.
At SatPod.
Oh, it's on our thing?
Yeah, I tweeted it.
Oh, nice. Retweet nudity.
Yep.
Follow us.
It was a bottom.
At SatPod.
God bless
You know what's funny? When I saw that on main event, I was going to text you guys and be like, guys, but I didn't know if anyone cared about Rosa Mendez on the show.
I don't. I care about her bottom.
Oh, so if I was like, hey, watch main event. There's a butt.
If you were to say watch main event, it's Rosa Mendez's ass versus someone, I would be like, okay.
Oh, man.
If you
told
me that.
I should be more liberal with my text, you guys.
If you'd have told me that her ass was exposed on main event, I would not have watched main event. I would have just tried to find the clip of her ass being exposed.
No, then you would have, if you couldn't have done that, you would have been like, Okay, now what minute to what minute am I looking for here?
Between
and is
what
it on your site that you use?
Stamps, yes. Okay, we got a trainer checking on Jericho backstage. Randy Orton bursts in, attacks Y2J, and then leaves.
Battered him.
Yeah, Jericho's just holding his knee in pain. Kind of out of nowhere, this little thing. Okay, because Orton had nothing going on. Jericho's obviously done, so.
I thought they were setting up Orton versus Jericho moving forward.
We'll see.
We'll see.
You're probably
that
right. Probably right. And then we get to Paul Heyman comes out to give his warning to John Cena as they were selling the whole night.
This is a godlike segment.
Cena cuts him off before he can really say anything. Cena invites Heyman to say it to his face. And Heyman says this is the reason he always tells Brock that Cena was the greatest champion of all time up until SummerSlam. Great line. Still love that line. Brilliant. Heyman says if Cena came out to the ring, then Lesnar authorized him to tell Cena how to beat him. And I'm kind of, at this point, I'm thinking, where is this going? Where are we going with this? Cena says he already knows how to beat Lesnar. Never give up, which is
okay, so I was ready to mail it in by this
so
point.
Was
I was
I.
Like, okay, this is...
Here's my playbook. Yeah. He hands over the towel. I'm like...
Yeah. But then Heyman, as though he was reading my mind... starts laughing and says, this is Cena's biggest problem. Cena lives...
You can't just help but be John Cena.
Exactly. He lives for the kid who chants for him, but Lesnar only hears three people. The referee...
Who can disqualify him.
Paul Heyman and his victims. So Heyman gives him the secret to beat Lesnar anyway. Give in to temptation. Heyman asks if Cena wants to just one time tap into that resentment and hatred... and tell the fat guy in the sixth row who chants Cena sucks to shut up. He's essentially trying to get Cena to turn on the crowd. He does a little rap to
he's
some
like,
guy.
It's so funny, though, because he's like, here, I'll show you. Come, do it with me. Like you used to. And I was just like, this is some good shit here. Like little lines like
this
that.
This whole thing, like as soon as they got past the towel thing.
Me too.
Which the towel thing ended up. The more he went into the segment, playing into it
totally.
Like a lot.
He came
like,
back to work and work out.
It was just unbelievable.
Yep. Heyman gets on his knees, begs Cena to give in, tells him to lose the wristbands and the t-shirts, and if he does, he can be the one to beat the one in 21-1, or he can just be another victim in the Conqueror. Heyman says he believes in Cena, but Lesnar does not think Cena has it in him. Cena teases that he's actually going to turn. He sits on the ropes and he's teasing that he's going to give in to all this hatred.
And they waited for like 2 minutes.
They
let
the dual chance.
Tension was palpable.
The dual chance. We're going back and forth for a good, like you say, 2 minutes.
Sometimes like, the crowd just does exactly what they're supposed to do. Like,
Well, and it was steady too.
Yeah. Like, was that written into the script though? Let the chant, like crowd chant for two minutes.
I doubt that.
We'll go back into it. No, it's just one of those things that works
just
out perfectly,
let
right? Yep.
Organic.
Yeah, especially with the fucking those guys in the ring, there's gonna get organic chance.
Yep.
With Cena and him.
This is just some like straight up like Luke versus the Emperor shit that I was like super into. I was like,
good
oh
analogy.
My God. It's Heyman's gonna get him. If anyone's gonna get him to turn, it's gonna be Heyman.
Cena like runs towards Heyman and just says, "Shut up, Paul Heyman."
Oh.
A little awkward on his delivery, but that's okay. Cena says he sees right through him because all Lesnar and Heyman want is to end him, but he refuses to turn his back on the fans who believe in him. Cena says Heyman lives in a world of eat, sleep, conquer, repeat, and he would even betray Lesnar if it benefited him. Cena says he lives his life with purpose, and his motto is eat, sleep, be John Cena, repeat.
That's going to be a t-shirt. I fucking guarantee it. It's going to be a fucking t-shirt.
Yeah, they'll do that for sure. For sure they'll do that.
They got to get it out before.
If they're willing to do a the champ is here shirt with the belt
for
him having the belt for like a month or two.
Yep.
They got to pump that thing out quick though. They only got like the Lesnar things done after.
Night of Champions? Yeah, that is true.
I would assume.
They made Stephanie merchandise.
True.
That's great. I think that'll sell. I think most of the women wrestling fans will buy that.
Yeah, I've been looking in the crowd to try and find a Steph shirt.
We gotta
Steph
find a
shirt.
Woman first.
That's a great point. They're hard to find, those females. And then Cena says he's gonna fight Heyman next week if Lesnar doesn't show up.
So Brock Lesnar confirmed for Raw next week.
Which is stupid, because then why was the point of this tease? When he said this, I was like, oh, that's a neat little hook for people. Maybe, you know, Paul Heyman's finally going to get his and Cena's going to kick his ass. But then, like, in the next hour, they're like, oh, yeah, Brock Lesnar.
I totally miss that.
He's going to be there next week.
Yeah, exactly. They should have just gone. Lame. Will he be there next week? I would tune in much more for will he?
Totally.
I will probably think he's going to.
And then you can build it up. Have, you know, Heyman backed into the corner.
Heyman sweating.
Terrified.
He's sweating in the turnbuckle.
Where's my beast? And then he shows up and. Yeah.
Oh, that's how his music goes.
I would have been all right with that. But
Brando, a cappella, the Brock Lesnar's theme for me. I'll be the turntable.
Wow. The little, yeah.
Oh, yeah, a little DJ.
Yeah, there's little turntables in there. Mm-hmm. A little throwback for DJ Lethal in there.
Okay. So, yeah, that was a good segment.
I thought that was a really good segment.
Yeah. I thought Cena justified himself in being a face for his entire career better than he ever has.
Totally.
Like, oh, except for when there came a point in this promo where John Cena is going through, like, who John Cena is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I like being the guy for, like, Make-A-Wish and stuff like that. And when a kid, all he wants to do is hang out with John Cena, and it was very shooty. It was very, this is who John Cena is to the WWE. But there came a point where it was just like, yo, is the babyface trying to use sick kids to, like, be like, I won't go to the dark side because sick kids.
Well, kind of, but like, that is, that's how we all view John
Cena. Yeah, that is true.
John Cena won't turn because of the kids and because of his commitment to the military and because of all that stuff. So for him to actually bring it up and be like, I like doing all this shit,
well, and
whether
again,
that's true or not.
As he's talking about the Make-A-Wish too, he was on the verge of breaking down. Like his voice kind of cracked at one point. And
those are when John Cena promos are the best, though.
Yeah,
when he's
super
just
emotional.
Like, oh, he is legitimately this dude.
He had another really brilliant analogy too when he was talking about, you know, I love being the hero for the kid whose dad thinks I suck, but still thanks me for doing right
after
by
the show,
his
he goes,
sin.
Yeah, hey, I actually do hate you, but thanks for doing right by my kid. This was so shooty that this was so entertaining.
Yeah, it was very real.
Well, on the other, like you say, on the shooty line of things, there was the point where Cena had said he wasn't going to give in to the hatred, whatever, because for what? To pop you, to pop those guys, to pop this guy here.
Just
like,
so they can go back to the internet later and say John
tell
Cena
me
still
I suck.
Sucks.
Yeah. Like, that's exactly what would happen. You'd pop this few guys and then they'd still fucking hate you. Like, brilliant. I thought this was a really good promo from both sides.
Yeah, both sides looked super strong.
Just having them both in the, like, considering this feud has been going on for 2 months now. It feels like we've never gotten Cena and Heyman face to face. Like, I don't remember it very often.
Yeah.
And it was just so much like the darkest of the greasy, slimy heels against like the Superman. And it was just having them both in there. Like, because John Cena is good on the mic.
This is the one thing
he's got. He just oozes charisma. And for them both to just be going at it, I was just like, this is great.
Agreed. So what do you do next week with these guys? You can't do another contract signing.
No, they probably brawl and then.
Because that's what Cena said.
I bet you they brawl and Cena gets the upper hand. If I had to put money on something.
And Brock walks away or something like that.
Yeah. Probably.
Like they get physical, not too physical. This isn't like that one Raw before Extreme Rules.
Hogan's birthday?
No.
Oh, before Extreme
Rules.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm talking about. The match I still have not watched.
Way back, yeah.
Like, you know that big brawl where like fucking Pat Patterson and like all these people are pulling them apart?
Yeah.
Was that shoot?
What? That brawl?
Yeah.
No, it's on Raw. Nothing shoot on Raw.
Well, this promo was kind of shooty.
Kind of.
These two
wasn't 100% scripted.
These two men have to work a wrestling match at the next pay-per-view. They don't actually go out and fight each other.
I hate Brock Lesnar because he like makes me think everything's a shoot.
Well, that's good.
That's
you
the
should
idea.
Like Brock
I know, but I don't like it. You know I'm vulnerable.
I totally get what you're saying. Brock Lesnar in the ring looks more like he's actually fighting.
Yeah, like
dude.
When he's hitting John Cena, like I've seen clips of Extreme Rules. I will watch the whole match at some point.
Part of it is probably him botching some stuff. But,
well, and I think
but when he's like laying those elbows in, I'm like, that's fucking real.
It is. Cena probably wanted it to be real too. But I think deep down, Scotty, I think you like shoot things.
Oh, I fucking love shoot things.
And that's why I think deep down you like broccoli.
No, I don't!
You just said he makes you think that things are shoot, and you like that.
Yeah, but I like the other person in it always. I was like, oh, Triple H is in the shoot?
Well, that means he's a great heel.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Brock Lesnar is a great
heel. I don't like watching him.
Brock Lesnar is not a great heel because of his mic skills or his personality.
It's all
he's a
beastness.
Great heel because no matter who's going against him, you're like, Brock Lesnar's going to kick the shit out of this guy, so I'm going to cheer for this other guy.
Yeah, exactly. I guess so. It's always
good
like,
point.
Yeah, you got me there. But, man, I do love shoot things.
There you go. So, deep down. One
Did
day,
you just piece that together now? You're like,
you're a closet Brock Lesnar fan. That's what you are.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. that's you coming out of the closet.
Oh, you see that?
Brock Lesnar fan.
I'm marking out to Brock.
I thought that was him yelling when Brock Lesnar's music hit. doing the Brock guy.
Imagine Brock Lesnar guy with that over it.
All right, moving on to Seth Rollins taking on Sheamus.
We don't see this matchup often.
I don't remember the last time we saw these guys, if ever.
In a singles match. Yeah, singles never.
Sheamus was always involved with the Shield.
Sheamus there, when he was like faces versus Shield. Yeah.
I had real high hopes for this.
Me too.
Because I was like, I bet you if Sheamus hits a big boot, I bet you Rollins is doing three backflips.
that was the same thing with this. I was like, Sheamus is so fucking physical and the way that he like brawls guys. I'm like, he might ragdoll like Seth Rollins a couple times in this match here.
It was okay. It wasn't, I think, what I had in mind when I just saw it on paper sort of thing.
Yeah. It wasn't great.
You had Cesaro come out to stand at ringside and kind of fuck with Sheamus, which I was like, so help me if they do a fucking...
If there's a distraction here, I will kill someone.
Second straight week, or second, two of the last three, I can't remember, that I've had no clue what was going on for the first 5 seconds after Cesaro's music hit.
I know.
I was like, my God, that's a legitimate arena fire alarm.
Who pulled the plug?
Yeah.
I like the other one way better
me
than
too.
That.
Me too. I have no idea why they
changed like
it.
That one so much
I get
more.
It because it's more of like a European.
I'm going to hurt you. Like it's ambulance, right?
Yeah.
Whereas his first
one
was like a
ambulance compared to here, but
where it's like a howl.
I don't know. I don't like it. The other one, I thought the whole like atom bomb alarm seems more menacing than I don't know.
I also think like the Dudley Boys like missile coming in, if they did something like that,
sure,
that would be way more like threatening, or I would be like, fuck yeah, Cesaro.
That missile coming down pyro was unbelievable. They'd always start off the show with it. Always.
And then their music on top of it too. No matter what era
they had
Dudley
a few
Boys.
Different
yeah.
ones, yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
There was a few, like, it always felt like Roz always started out with the Dudleys. Like, always right after the music, it was the Dudleys music hit, and it always felt like pay-per-views started out with Chris Jericho for a while. Like, every time.
Agreed. So Seth Rollins picks up the win after Cesaro kind of distracts Sheamus. Rollins hits Sheamus with the curb stomp, which was horrendous.
Yeah, brutal sell. Like, and this one was on Sheamus.
How hard is that? All you got to do is feel the foot on your back, and then you can see when his left foot hits the mat, and that's when you're supposed to go down. But even Cole was like, and he's going to hit him with the curb stomp.
Didn't get the curb stomp.
And then JBL's right in there, and then it ended up being the finish. I don't know. I thought it was really
it was bad.
Sloppy way to end this match.
The thing with the curb stomp is I kind of see you falling early.
Right.
I have no idea what Sheamus was doing.
No clue.
He just fucking botched it.
Yeah.
Big time.
He just fucking botched it.
And it's such an easy move.
It's an easy one. Yeah.
You're on your hands and knees and you fall.
Especially the way you just explained it, I was like, oh, okay, I could sell that every time pretty much. It's
just fall on your belly.
You watch. You just watch and listen. But Seth Rollins beat one of the most protected WWE superstars.
True.
He beat him.
Yep.
Clean.
Which
beat him
sense.
Clean.
He totally should have.
He beat him clean.
When
too.
I see this match,
he's on
paper,
a different.
I mean,
Seth Rollins is higher than the mid card title.
Also, you guys
right
see Cesaro eat shit into the barricade off the stairs.
Yeah.
When they're tugging on the belt.
I didn't actually.
Yeah. Sheamus lets go and Cesaro kind of falls backwards into the corner.
I was thinking it would be the opposite, that Cesaro would let go and then Sheamus would fall in there.
I don't think the heel is ever allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Like in those tug of wars, I don't think I've ever seen the heel like just let go. It's always the face.
That's true.
For the laugh. This is probably the Night of Champions match that I'm least interested in.
Really? This is one of the ones I'm more interested in is Cesaro versus Sheamus.
I'm interested in the result because I think they're building towards a title unification at some point.
I think it's going to be a good match, though.
It could be a good match too.
One of those big guy sleepers.
And a physical guy. But in terms of
like
build,
underrated kind of thing, like is that what you mean by a sleeper?
It's a potential show stealer in the ring only.
Yeah,
but in that there hasn't been a great build up storyline wise, but the match could be pretty good.
And part of that is because I think Night of Champions has some really good builds going right now.
Yeah.
So
no, it does. I agree. Which kind of came out of nowhere.
I know. It was like all of a sudden.
Brando text last night.
Yeah.
Being like, I think Night of Champions is going to be good. And I'd sat there and thought about it. And I was like, you might be right.
If you run down the card and you look at each match and you're like, they built that well.
There's a few.
The gold dust thing. That's going great. Rusev, and that'll be great. And then, like, Ziggler, you're totally right. That'll be great. Like,
yeah.
They're all feuds, more or less.
The little matches, you know, the mid-card matches, they're doing those right.
Enough time.
Yeah, I agree.
The Divas picture is interesting just in what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like AJ versus, I could probably watch AJ versus Paige at every pay-per-view for the next little while. And then throwing Nikki in there, while I think it makes the match worse, at least there's like
a variable.
Yeah, it's something different.
Well, it also kind of scares me in that I think that they're going to attach the title to one of the two sisters and have that just kind of spawn into that.
God damn it.
Since Total, this is the third season, and not one Total Diva has had the title since they started it.
Or been the number one contenders.
No, totally, you're right.
Put it on Natty. Not yet.
Obviously. I'm surprised they don't have it on Natty, or at least in season one. And they're like, okay, in season one, Natty will win the title near the end of the season, and it establishes that she is the best veteran. They're just like, you're the veteran, you just have to do all the piggyback shit.
Yeah. And she gets drunk and complains about not getting title shots.
It goes back
to... That sounds like such a Hart family thing. Shoot.
Okay.
It goes back to what we were talking about last week, where they've really established that we have our wrestling divas, and we have our... diva show divas.
Yeah.
Like, and let's not get them too mixed up with each other. Let's give the Total Divas girls
their
little
match
here.
You don't want to mix up your purple grapes and your white grapes too much.
Exactly. We got Rusev coming out with Lana next. They did the anthem, which she mockingly sings the United States anthem.
Poorly.
Which is fine.
Yep.
Okay. But then they play the anthem and both of them stand there and don't sing their own
anthem.
They
don't know it.
Exactly. Like, I get that it's a completely foreign language and that C.J. Perry is actually from the United States and probably doesn't speak an actual sentence. No, that's the woman.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, that guy.
Yeah, because I was going to say, Rusev is a fucking actual cab driver from Bulgaria who moved to the United States to become a pro wrestler.
But how hard would it be to just get them in the past week to just study hard on that anthem, at least... You know, get the first verse so that you can have Rusev with the flag standing there screaming the anthem.
In fairness, I don't sing my anthem all the time.
I sing the American anthem because it's a better sounding song than the Canadian anthem. Because I'm just tired of hearing
let's back it up.
If there's two people who are going to make fun of me or get on me on this one.
Canada's got a great anthem. It's
fantastic. Way better than the Americans.
Yeah, but it's like a song out of the Canadian anthem.
I hear the American national anthem more than I hear the Canadian one. But that's because we're sports fans. So
yeah, true. I was gonna say it's because you guys are big NFL and college.
I've heard every celebrity under the goddamn sun sing the American national anthem.
Oh, see, I just think it's like a cool song. It's like the bombs burst in an air and shit.
Just like explosions and shit. People are dying in those bombs.
America's dumb enough to fucking write their anthem about it.
Yeah, and you're dumb enough to like it.
I'm dumb enough to like a lot of things, man.
There will be no argument there.
Canada, greater than America.
Yeah, suck it, bitches.
Okay.
Endorsement. We like all our American listeners.
That was pretty much the whole segment, actually. Yep. Nothing happened after that.
Oh, Jerry the King of Lawlers actually made me laugh here when he's like,
oh, my God.
I'm not going to stand. I'm going to sit. No, I'm going to sit on the floor. And he just looks so
grumpy
old man.
Like pouting.
That actually made me laugh.
Can't believe they're doing this.
The worst part was that like they did that and then. They didn't cut away from the table again.
They just showed it.
So as they like...
They kind of had to reset themselves on camera.
As they transitioned to the next element, he kind of had to like...
Oh my God.
Switch back.
I guarantee Vince is in his ear going, King, stand the fuck up. Like, get back in your chair, please. Like, let's go. And King just...
Like JBL at least, because JBL was going on about it being disrespectful. And JBL right to the end looked angry. Yeah. He didn't do something so stupid as to get off his chair, so...
But you do see JBL fucking reset on camera all the time, where you'll see him just go and hit, like, neutral face.
Sigh, and then smile.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael!
Do it.
It's like a fucking robot.
Yeah. This was probably the coolest thing I've seen in a long time on Raw.
This was really neat.
The four combatants.
Not what we just talked about.
In the Fatal 4-Way NXT Championship match at NXT TakeOver 2. Fatal 4-Way, I believe they're calling it.
That's a lot of numbers in one title.
It is.
Yeah,
they're competing in a tag match on Raw.
Holy
so you
fuck.
Get the team of Adrian Neville with Sami Zayn taking on Tyler Breeze and Tyson Kidd.
How fired up do you think these guys were?
Oh, Tyson Kidd, maybe not as much,
right,
just because he's been there.
It? Yeah.
But like you could see it in Neville's face when he got the hot tag. Yeah.
And Neville killed it in this match.
Oh, my God, was he good.
This match is built to show off Neville.
Yeah.
Neville was the one to shine on TV.
This is brilliant. Where has this been?
Wasn't this such a good change of pace? Just a different style of match. Because normally Raw's a format. You know how the pieces. Yeah. Now, where are they going to fall in the 3 hours? Whatever. This was like, whoa. It's like back in the day of WCW when they had that crazy cruiserweight division. You'd be like, well, what the fuck is this? Lucha?
Yeah.
It was like that, right? Like, it was just so...
season premiere, boys.
This is what you can expect in the new season of Raw, I guess.
Oh, like, really? Because I will be so down if every week we get...
Me too.
A taste, a nibble.
And it wasn't just the match. It was like they were talking about like Kenta debuting on the show while this was going on. Like, they were putting over NXT big here.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were all trying to push that TakeOver too.
It's sad that that they only do it for when they have their own pay-per-view. Like, last week was so brutal. You put one of these in there, it would
instantly would have gone up a number or two on our thing.
Like,
also that would have been our moment of the night, being we got developmental guys.
The thing that you have to like worry about though is that they have enough trouble making their poor WWE main card guys look good. Without being like, let's skip them and go work on these other guys. So it's nice that they got a chance here, but I can understand why they're not always like, let's do our NXT thing this week. Let's do.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we need to save. We have NXT. We need to save that 10 minutes to try and figure out what the hell we're doing with Adam Rose. Like,
yeah, but at the same point, if it gets to a point where we see the Dust Brothers versus Rybacksel, 5 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Maybe we think about plugging a little NXT match in there every now and
absolutely.
Then.
Absolutely.
Or I would
totally
even like go for like, okay, Rybacksel's on commentary, Dust Brothers versus Ascension. Or no, just like maybe not that big of a tag team because they would probably kill them. Versus the Vaudevillains.
Yeah.
Who are fucking great.
And if you can't do it on Raw, do it on SmackDown.
Oh, put it on SmackDown.
I'd tune into SmackDown to watch it.
The amount of main event.
I would watch a main event for they were like, Blank is making his main roster debut from NXT, and especially if it was a guy I like, if it was like...
Why don't you just watch NXT, though?
Do watch NXT.
I know. But oh, like, no.
It's just a big deal when they come to that main roster, though.
Yeah, I kind of get Raw. If SmackDown had a main event NXT guys, I would be no more likely to watch it than I am to watch an NXT.
Yeah, true. I see what you're saying here. Because...
And there's NXT, they're going to probably get more time.
Yeah, and there's times where at NXT, you're like, look how over some of these fucking guys are. Like, these gimmicks are great.
And part of that's their crowd, though.
Oh, yeah,
their
it's crowd that audience internet, that comes month in, month out.
Yeah.
So.
In a small arena.
I would rather see any and all of these four guys on the main roster than so many guys that are on the main roster.
Totally.
And you imagine the amount of people who are there, like, super casual. Like, casual, because there are a lot of people there. Never watched an episode of NXT. Tons of people in that building tonight had
absolutely
never seen any of these guys.
No
except
clue
for maybe
who they
Kid.
Are. Yeah.
And they must have just been sitting there like, why are these guys
where
in
the fuck
minors
have these guys been? Yeah, exactly.
Are these locals? Like,
we got Great Khali coming out here every other night. Or
hobbling his way to the fucking ring, yeah.
This was the nicest, freshest cup of coffee Raw's had in a while.
I'll agree.
It was just really good, feel-good moment, right?
Yeah.
Seeing Zayn out there and Neville.
Seeing Zayn and, seeing El Generico and Pac tagging together.
I don't know who those are.
Neville and Sami Zayn, that's just their indie names when they were international guys in Japan and England and all the shit.
What's my Indian name?
What's your Indian or indie name? How come? Oh, I'm dropping that one. I'm not going to bite it.
Okay.
But that was a huge moment for like indie wrestling to see that on Raw.
Well, and this is the closest thing to real sports that the WWE can offer in that you can see how pumped up these guys are and you can kind of tell that this is kind of their time to prove themselves and Because you know that there's guys in the back that are watching how the fans react to these guys. Generico's getting, or Zane is getting Olay chance before the match even starts. So people know him. They know who he is.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool. Really cool. And yeah, like we say,
future looks bright.
Neville stole the show in this match, I think.
Gets that hot tag.
He's friggin' flipping across the ring there. Man. The crowd was like roaring by the time he got done it. Like,
is standing moonsault drop
people
thing.
People were like, Red Arrow?
He had enough time to take the paper out and read it on his way
down.
That's
Neville's finisher.
No, the standing one.
Where he's just on the ground. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Arrow. You can, if you watch, I saw it on the instant replay of the Red Neville, and my eye, for whatever reason, went to three girls in the crowd.
Were they all green?
I think they were like front. They were on the hard cam.
Okay.
And they're like front two rows, and he was in the air, and as soon as they landed, you could just see all three of them like legitimate jaw drop shock, like
holy
shit!
Oh, those
are
probably the girls who had the fucking "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks" signs that were like right in the front row that Paul Heyman was like playing to. On the hard cam.
He was playing to a fat guy in the sixth row.
And the guy in the wife beaters.
Who was on the other side.
Yeah, but I think I know that a girl. I think I know what girls you're talking about.
I love those guys in the wife beaters because they were like, you have to eat it.
And then afterwards, as the camera's still on them, they're like hitting each other. Like,
we're on TV!
Let's go, Sheena!
And you know what? I thought the announcers did a really good job in this match. JBL, even though he was quote-unquote general manager, is no longer general manager, but he was on the show a total of two times as general manager.
And he was
just
playing
a fucking
up,
bitch slap.
Playing up the fact
Sami Zayn
that
both
he knew
times.
Exactly. That was the best part, is that he's, you know, this kid's a high flyer. He's got a lot of energy, a bright future, and as he's getting up to the top rope, he's talking about, this move is unbelievable.
Yeah,
you
even
guys
Michael
never
Cole
seen.
Is like, you guys are going to love, like, yeah. Like everyone
and it
was
built
just,
it up. Yeah. And then when he hits that move, even though I'd seen it before, I was like, oh, you did it. Really cool. Neville picks up the win.
God, if that guy could talk.
Yeah, but again.
Hopefully he doesn't need to.
Put him with, I don't know, Heyman.
Baby faces can get away with not talking.
Yeah.
Either, so.
Yeah. I still think they need to bring Regal up and have him be a manager for him when he
finally
comes up.
That would be really good.
I love when Regal's on commentary at NXT, just a quick thing here, for Neville matches when he's like, oh, the Jordy jumper and just shit like that. And it's like totally stuff that like North Americans don't get because we're like, what the hell? And it's just like what neighborhood he grew up in or like what soccer club he's born to cheer for or whatever that shit is.
Kind of bummed that we don't get that anymore with Regal being the new GM, but oh well. We'll see. I do think that they should bring Regal up and have him be the GM or the
manager
for Neville.
I just want to know.
Throw Paige in there too, have a little heel stable.
Ooh, there you go.
Fuck
I
want
to give know me one more Brit and
Wade Barrett.
I love it.
There you go. I just want to know when some of these guys are coming up.
Yeah.
Like maybe they're not ready. I don't know. I don't know what WWE's qualifications for them being ready is.
Yep.
But man, do they seem ready. Like,
well, and the thing that they've struggled with bringing talent up to the main roster is their gimmicks.
Right.
The gimmicks work in a smaller arena with you know, fewer people. Adam Rose is an example.
Right.
And then when he gets up there, you know, people are kind of into it for the first little bit, but then they're like, eh.
They jump off the bus.
The nice thing about these four is
they're in-ring.
One of them has a gimmick, a real gimmick.
Yeah. And like, that's Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that gimmick translates fantastically.
Right.
With
his
phone, put the phone screen up on the jumbo.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone knows that guy.
Think of the production value you could do when he's on the main roster, too. You get to add more.
And nowadays, people know that guy. They know the guy that's taking pictures all the time.
Yep.
And that's, you know, in love with himself and always doing his
and
hair.
And the selfie fucking craze.
Totally.
He's a very credible,
It makes sense. And I think, he's a PWA guy, too, so.
Yep.
Bring him up.
Actually, you know what's great?
Lance Storm.
Three fucking Canadians and one Brit.
Yep.
Neil?
There's some international flavor for you.
Yeah. Really good match.
There's some maple syrup and
need to see more of this.
UK beer.
Will you be watching NXT TakeOver 2, gentlemen?
Yes, I fucking will.
Me too. Before, I wasn't sold on it. Like
I
would have watched it eventually before this match, but because of this match, I'll probably watch it live.
Full disclosure, didn't know it was a thing until this show.
There you go.
Oh, really?
Didn't even know there was a TakeOver 2. First time I heard TakeOver 2, I was like, that's a dumb name.
I agree that it still is a dumb name.
TakeOver 2 if it is a year after TakeOver.
Yeah. not.
Yeah, it should be like.
And the second like the, pay-per-view
the whole classic
situation. Yeah, it's going to be In Your House 23 soon.
Oh my God.
Or Takeover 23.
All right.
Next month.
So we need more of that. We can all agree.
Yeah.
What we don't need more of is the Bella Twins.
Or Jerry Springer.
I'm not going to talk about this segment for more than like 3 minutes. So get in what you have to say right now. I'm timing you.
Gah, kill me now. They did a lot of shit where I was like, wow, this is just painful. Because like, I don't care about the Bella's dad or mom. But I do know that that's a shoot thing that their dad, they have issues with their dad.
He did leave.
Like his video seemed very, I don't want to do this video
totally.
For WWE.
You gave me enough money.
Yeah.
That I'll do it, but I'm not going to make it seem like I enjoy doing it.
And then the mom was like, whatever about
hers
it.
Hers is actually pretty good. She's better on the mic than both of them
absolutely.
Together.
Absolutely. 100%. I thought the same thing when I saw her talking. I was like, you know what?
You're more
okay.
natural yeah. than either of these two fucking
maybe
idiots.
Maybe part of it's the fact that she was not in front of
maybe.
A bunch of people.
And then they brought out their brother. And
also, how many
terrible.
Takes did that take to get, you know, that type of delivery from the mother?
That's true. We're probably halfway through our time that we're allowed to
allow. Yeah, there was a cat fight, and they took out Jerry.
I'm going to touch on some entrance music thing. I think Jerry Springer got better entrance music than probably a handful of WWE superstars. This is the first time I heard Bree's new music, and I didn't think it was very good.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I liked Jerry pulling Total Diva footage.
Yes.
I thought Jerry Springer would do that. He would go into the archive. Like, season one, I had seen this stuff.
If you've ever watched the actual Jerry Springer show, that's exactly what they do.
Oh, we got family video of you two from when you
let's
were
take a
six.
Let's
no,
roll the clip.
The one thing I did think that was funny, and they're like, and your brother JJ. You got a brother JJ? And they're like, Bree's like, oh, what? You got a video of him too? He's like, even better. And I was like, he's backstage.
This
they only
JJ
bring up people.
Thing made no sense.
I didn't even know who he was
they
a person.
They intro'd him by Bree saying, he's in my corner.
Yep.
And then they tried to swerve us.
Yeah, then they tried to just
like, going like at Bree.
We already
tried
know.
To swerve so hard.
Well, and the other awkward
stop being
thing
the
is
victim.
That Springer's like, let's bring him out. JJ Bella. And then he comes out and his little name tag on the screen says JJ Garcia.
Because because
that's his real name. So
I learned that the Bella's name wasn't Bella today or yesterday.
Really?
I don't know. I thought they were models beforehand. I have no idea who these people were before they came to wrestling. I know they were in OVW, and they said, if we don't go on the road in the next 6 weeks, we're quitting. And then they got pulled up. I don't know.
Wrestling's real.
I thought Bella could have been a real last name.
No way.
JJ Bella would have gotten beaten up in the schoolyard.
He was equally as bad as both of these.
Yes. So they're getting it from the dad, maybe.
He was terrified, I think.
The mom is
the mom's the best
shooter.
Actor we've seen of the family.
He looked like he was terrified. Like you could hear it in his voice. He did not like being in front of all of these people and wanted
why
to get the hell out
I
of there.
Do this?
Took a slap, sold it horribly.
Yep.
Don't want to see him again. Don't want to see any of this again. We're going to, but
the only thing I thought was funny
so
was
bad.
Once they started their big cat fight and they were all in a big dog pile, and Steph's like, Jesus, guys, why are you? This is embarrassing. And then all of a sudden, Brie like grabs her leg, and all of a sudden, she's in the dog
they
pile.
They were doing
like,
the old Braun panty referee spot.
Earl Hebner.
They,
that's exactly
absolutely.
Where my mind went. Yeah. Earl Hebner. Every single time there'd be a woman's match, they would do the roll spot. Hebner would roll around, and then he'd stand up with a big, stupid smile on his face. One of them would slap him, and then the finish would come.
Earl Hebner.
Fuck.
Best part of this whole thing was JBL yelling at the useless security guard.
Yeah, which was.
Why
valid.
Did he. Especially because they.
They
he
intro'd
had his name
him. They
on the
intro'd
thing.
Him, which made me think they
he was going to do
he
something.
Was gonna,
or
I
he'd
thought he
be
was
in the
get,
ring at least.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get like beaten up.
Yeah, nope, nothing.
Or he'd be
didn't
the one separating the Bellas the whole time.
We didn't see him until he got in the ring to check on Springer after he had already been attacked
and
injured.
He was stretchered out.
JBL also when he got hurt, Springer got hurt. He referred to him admirably as the former mayor of Cincinnati. Which I just popped for because I had no idea that was true.
I had known that.
You did know that? Yeah.
All right.
No. Otherwise, bad segment. I also
shit
like
segment.
The,
shit segment.
He was doing the thumbs up, getting rolled out, and and JBL made the Evel Knievel reference.
Yes. Yeah.
He's like Evel Knievel.
I thought Springer did an actual pretty good job for speaking as he's getting put onto the a shred of believability to it.
Yes.
Where he's like, well, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to, this wouldn't, exactly.
Same
and
with
Stephanie apologizing
to him. Yeah, being like, this
him.
Is embarrassing, I'm so sorry.
Hey,
but
that's
also
two pros.
Smiling at the same time, which means that she kind of, this is the what she wanted to happen.
Yeah. this these are two pros.
Okay.
Jerry Springer could do some work in wrestling if he had more to work with.
I gave you guys five. You got 5 minutes on that.
Yay! We got okay, two more than we were allowed. So.
I gave you three originally, but three ain't enough.
Enough. I need five!
Thanks, Scotty.
We have questions as well.
I know.
We have a question.
Two.
Hey, two.
We got two, not on email.
Yeah.
Both on email. Yeah. Oh, two questions from the same guy.
Yeah.
One email.
Goldust and Stardust. Oh, yeah, that's right. There is a question that relates to this segment.
You want to do that now? I got him. I got him up here.
So do I. Go ahead.
These questions are coming in from the Ric Flair. And
the Nature Boy?
We cannot confirm nor deny
the Ric Flair.
If it is the Ric Flair.
Yeah.
I didn't put where he was from, but we know he's from North Carolina.
Yep.
Which one are we doing? First one?
Just do the...
What are your thoughts on the last remaining CM Punk items on WWE Shop are selling for roughly $2 or $3? Even the Best in the World documentary is going for that cheap. Do you guys think this is so they have to pay Punk less royalties?
I don't know if it's necessarily they have to pay him less royalties. I think it's more of a, you want to try and sue us, this is what we think of you, you're worth $2.
That's a good deal on that DVD, though.
Yeah.
It's a good documentary.
Oh, totally.
It's the second best one behind Paul Heyman's.
You can also get it for $9.99 a month.
I think CM Punk's was better than Paul Heyman's, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I really like Paul Heyman's. I really like both.
I'll agree.
They're my top two for WWE documentaries.
I like Punk's a little better, but yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I like Punk's more because of the punk rock aspect of it, but I thought Heyman's just had a couple things I hadn't seen before. I don't know.
They're
both good.
Did you know he fired his mother?
Yeah, it was common knowledge, guys. Big Bad Boris backed me up.
No,
oh,
he
you didn't know that. I know.
He did
I wish Boris did.
Up.
I really wish he did.
No, and even Vito said he didn't know it. So
yeah, apparently I'm just an
common
asset.
Common knowledge.
We're
my
rapidly
ass.
Approaching the 10th person we've asked.
we should email Ric Flair back, ask him. did you know?
The second question, bringing someone like Jerry Springer on TV.
Yeah.
Really, is that going to put more eyes on the shitty Bella segments?
Maybe. Until they're there for 3 minutes and realize how shitty it is and then flip back to fucking football or
I can
whatever the hell they're going to watch.
Yeah, I can guarantee you there were literally more eyes on that segment than there would have been otherwise.
Probably.
I don't really think Jerry Springer is that big of a draw in
Jerry
2014.
Jerry
it's still
Springer
fun to
is
say
a weirdly
Jerry Springer.
Big draw. Like, if you, like, ratings-wise, Jerry Springer is a weirdly
he is.
Big draw.
Just because it's so, like, chaotic and...
Yeah, oh, I like
the thing
Jerry
is,
Springer.
I think there's a big cross-section between wrestling fans and Jerry Springer fans.
Oh, because it's all fake.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all scripted.
So you might, like, you already got a good chunk of those people that were watching anyway. Yeah. So you
and
draw a few in.
That's why Springer makes sense for shit like this, because he's used to the kayfabe-ness.
You hear they're bringing on to SmackDown?
Oh, good.
Maury.
Jesus.
I like Maury,
is that
actually.
True?
No,
the show.
I was going to say, I didn't see a single thing about
as
that.
As a dude, I think Maury is hilarious. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Maury.
I think Maury and Jerry Springer are funny shows. They're funny.
I haven't actually watched Jerry Springer in a really long time. I watched Maury a few days
ago. I only ever see Jerry Springer on TV when I'm like at a hotel and it's like 2 a.m. and I'm like, flip. Oh, Springer? All right.
I haven't watched Springer since the Steve days before Steve got his own show.
I don't know who Steve is.
Steve was his big security guard who now
yeah,
has the Steve Wilkos
show,
which is the exact same
yeah.
show as the Jerry Springer show, just that it's the Steve Wilkos show.
Anyway, thank you, Ric Flair says, thanks, love the show, woo.
Woo! Thanks, nice. Rick.
Signed it, Rick.
If you have a question,
and
send it to us.
I think if Ric Flair, the Ric Flair, was sending an email, he would sign it, Rick.
Yeah.
Further adding to the evidence.
With the woo there, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Woo.
There you go. You can email us
in
questions.
In fancy handwriting.
That's
like
the second email
the,
question
like
we've
like
ever got.
His auto signature on the bottom of the emails is like a handwritten woo.
Woo!
It's an audio file of him wooing. You just click it. Woo! Okay. There.
Let's log out of this. We got an email, you guys. Look at this.
Okay. Second ever.
Really where two? Were we here? Goldust and Stardust taking on the team of Los Matadors. Goldust and Stardust win. I didn't think there was really anything to this match whatsoever.
Nope, me neither.
Nope. Okay. All I want to say is Cody can make any gimmick work.
Yeah,
Cody's the star of this.
On this entrance here, he came out like a second early and then just started like bouncing around. And you're like, eh, whatever, you made it work. He's like, I'll turn around when the cue comes in.
The Usos attack them from behind as they pose on the stage with their crutches. And then the Dust Brothers run away.
That's probably the next logical step in that rivalry.
Yeah.
You got to have the faces go over once.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Hopefully that knee heals up, though.
That move that Cody does is called the Dark Matter.
Yeah, yes. Dark Matter. I think that's the second or third time I've heard it called that.
Yeah, I didn't know it.
They have a lot of matches
on. Are they considering that a tag team move just because Goldust Irish whips him into it? You know, Cody like full stops him and like moves around.
That's like how they
He's
consider.
He's like, they call that the Dark Matter. I was like, Cody calls that
the
Dark
Matter.
Yeah,
it's just his move. Cool. WWE, then we get they air a tribute to the late Joan Rivers. I don't know.
She was in wrestling a lot. Looking back,
I had no clue, to be honest. Without
I knew about.
Oh, really?
I knew about the first one.
Yeah,
that was it. I didn't know there was any prolonged.
That well, she had the Late Show or the Tonight Show, whatever one of those shows are, and she had all like because it was just pop culture in the 80s, right? So she had Piper and Hogan on a lot, and just like was they would do silly skits and just like joke around and whatnot. Yeah. I was never a huge Joan Rivers fan. I know a lot of people who are.
We missed her.
Totally.
Though, she does seem like someone who always just wanted to make people laugh. And, like, some of her best friends were, like, Roddy Piper and, like, that's awesome.
From what I heard, all the tributes and stuff, she was the first woman to really go, like, that blue.
Mainstream.
Style. No, like the dirty.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, totally.
Yeah, flipping the bird to people, dropping.
Pioneer, one might say.
Yeah, trailblazing.
A revolutionary.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
Which is actually really funny, because, like.
She's not a son.
Okay, you guys are both older than me. I was going to say, I don't know how old your guys' parents are or whatever, but, like, your parents probably like Joan Rivers. Like
my mom liked Joan Rivers.
Yeah, like, my mom fucking really liked Joan Rivers. And, like, I was like, oh, really? I never thought she was that funny. Or she was a little too, like.
Her
comedy just wasn't for me. And then my mom's just like, that's her shtick. Like, that's literally her gimmick there.
If I'm going to break down her comedy real quick, I have a pet peeve with comedy in that people who deliver the punchline and then quickly say a word, that was, she did it all the time. She'd be like, and you know, he's, I can't think of a joke, but she would.
The blue whale fell on the dolphin.
Yeah, the blue whale fell on a dolphin, but, like, she'll say but, and then let them laugh, and then stop. I hate that. It drives me nuts, and she did it after every single joke.
And what's the deal with airline food?
It's such a little thing, and people are probably like, what the fuck are you even talking about?
The sexist in me, is I don't, and I like women, they're nice.
Yeah.
I don't really like female comedians.
No.
I think there's a certain
there's
amount
very
of,
select few
yeah, you gotta,
I,
you,
like.
I think women would really bad. Like women, women see the world a different way.
They do, they really do.
I don't understand
also,
when she's talking. I'm like,
I realized that, you know, Joan Rivers had a little bit of work done. I would not have recognized her from those old clips.
No.
If
not
you'd
at
have
all.
Showed me the picture of that and said, who is this? Not even. Couldn't. No. No close.
I think that, I know we were kind of glorifying her here, but now I'm not going to. She was addicted to plastic surgery. Like, there are pictures of her in like the early 90s, and I'm like, whoa, your cheekbones are not supposed to be that high.
This is turning into bashing Joan Rivers.
Well,
the roast of Joan Rivers, hosted by Scotty and Brando.
Let's be honest.
Scotty,
it's not that offensive when you consider who it is and what she did for a living. So.
Yeah, I don't think she cares. Probably like, you little bastards.
You fat son of a bitch. And you,
your penises.
Okay.
That's women's humor,
right?
There's
a lot more time that I wanted to talk about Joan Rivers, but we did.
We milked the Jerry Springer for a long time after you said our
five
minutes were up too.
We're not talking about Jerry Springer, guys.
Warren, your number one mistake is you think as host you dictate this thing. We'll talk about Jerry Springer and Joan Rivers all we want.
We'll also talk about Adam Rose taking on Titus O'Neil.
I had nothing to say about this. No.
We didn't get an Ura, or if we did, it was very faint.
I didn't see it.
Heath?
I didn't get one from Heath at all.
The bunny continues to emerge
hit a super
as
kick.
A potential wrestler.
And a big
JBL,
old splash.
JBL hated that he had a super kick.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, Michael, he hit a fucking super kick.
He's a bunny.
Do something.
the way I'm thinking it is that, because Adam Rose flat out disappeared for a while, and they're getting ready to introduce someone.
Yep.
And they literally were like, let's make him the bunny. And then now we'll bring Adam Rose back out for matches so we can get this bunny going. And then who knows who it'll be.
Okay, you guys want to just each get one pick for who you think the bunny is right now.
I don't know if we've seen him.
I feel like, it might be like
a brand
not
new,
an NXT guy.
Not an NXT. I think it's going to be
Kenta.
Kenta's the bunny. Somebody shop that for us, please.
Bubba Ray Dudley.
Bubba Ray? No, too little, scared. I think it's slow. Darren Young. Because have you noticed they keep going after Titus O'Neil?
I think that guy had white ankles.
Oh, really?
Nah, he could be right.
I think it's a white dude.
Could be right.
Thus, Kenta.
Doesn't mean they couldn't have it revealed to be Darren.
Kenta!
Either.
I've never seen Darren Young do a super kick either.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a third young
Shawn,
buck.
Shawn Michaels.
The way he super kicked, it did kind of look like a Shawn super kick.
Shawn
too.
Set the standard.
But I don't know. Anyways, we'll see. Maybe it'll just be the bunny.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he'll just become a part of the roster.
Maybe it is Zack Ryder, and this is his gimmick change.
Yep, but we'll just never know.
No, he'll just be the bunny.
I'm going to check the website right now to see if there's a bunny.
If there's a profile.
I think they ought to wait till they have the first match.
Big E. No bunny.
How about Rabbit?
Okay, let's go to R here. R-Truth, Randy Orton, Rob Van Dam. Roman Reigns.
No, it's Rabbit. You would have seen it by now.
No, he's not on there.
R.A.
No. Tony Chimmel's still on there, though. So you got that. Nope, yeah, he's not on there.
No.
Okay. The Rabbit. Adam Rose won. Beat Titus O'Neil with the party foul after Heath Slater tries to attack the bunny, gets a super kick. It was a distracted finish, but in this case, don't care.
Me neither.
I'm all right.
We let it slide.
The third, after a really good first 2 hours, third hour... A little bit of a grind.
Little weak. Yeah. Little weak.
Had something to say. The bunny. I forget. Edit all that right out.
Good. We go backstage. Renee Young is talking to Roman Reigns. She asks him what Randy meant by his words earlier. Hey, Brando, what did Scotty mean by his words earlier? It's a stupid question.
Which
to ask
ones?
Someone. Like, it's just, why would you ask someone what somebody else meant when they...
Unless they, like, said something that you're just like, what in the fuck did you just say? Like, unless you were, like, a super metaphor or something like that. Not a normal metaphor, a super metaphor. But, like, what do you think he meant by his words? Well, I think he meant he was going to fight me later.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
My first...
Come on, Renee Young.
My first inclination would be, like, what? We've exchanged words.
I've talked to him for over a year now. Well over a year. Reigns responds with, he does not know, but he has the antidote for the Viper's venom. He's always trying to work in these little, like stabs at Orton's gimmick. Like, what's a snake without teeth? And, like, I don't know. It's just...
I don't like his delivery on anything.
Yeah, everything is, like, 80s movie corny. Like,
he's got to change it a little bit. Like, he's got everything right. He's got everything going for him. But he's got to change the whole... I like him better when he's a little angrier.
Yeah.
A little more intense than when he's doing the...
Kind of shtick. Yeah.
Gee, the venom.
Considering, like, remember...
It always
when
seems
he
like
was,
he's trying to hit on Renee.
Remember when he was originally... That's always funny, though.
Which is kind of funny.
Remember when he was originally in the Shield and we were just like, hey, he never talks, believe that, and just yells. Right? Like,
yeah.
What if he just screams, believe that? What if that's all he does?
Just constantly?
Yeah.
Hey, Roman Reigns, what do you think Randy Orton meant about his comments earlier?
Believe that. Like, it just walks off. That'd be hilarious.
I mean, it couldn't be any worse.
He wants me to believe it, I guess. This little kid running with the football on the TV.
Daniel. Look at him go. Oh, what a stiff arm. Oh, don't edit this out.
Ooh.
Oh, look at him go.
Speaking of
the 10.
Did you guys hear that Jim Ross... We'll be making his
mixed
his
martial
MMA
arts debut?
Commentary debut
I
alongside Chael Sonnen.
Kind of stepping on my.
Oh, you got that?
News.
Okay, hold on. Let's just get back into the old Roman Reigns.
I was gonna fit it in right before emails, which we've also slashed as a segment.
Emails are only at the end. Not this week though, because they're topical.
Sure.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns taking on Randy Orton in the main event. Didn't really care about this match as I'm
like
watching
this match.
I'm like, I don't.
I could went and shave my face during this match, and then when I came up from shaving my face, the cage was coming down, and I was like, oh, okay, it was right before the run-in. I was like, oh, they're still wrestling?
Yeah.
Wow. Pretty unimpressed. And then all of a sudden,
pretty unimpressed with the length of time they've managed to wrestle. Wow,
for
they're still
I've
wrestling?
Watched,
pretty unimpressed.
During Randy Orton's entrance, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go shave.
Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart are going past 60 minutes. Pretty unimpressive.
Losers.
Yeah.
These guys, the show went late, though.
The show
gave these
late.
Guys a lot of time, and it was I didn't check. I meant to check, but I'd say at least 10 minutes over the 9 o'clock. Well, 9 o'clock our time. The 3-hour mark. 10 minutes over the 3-hour mark.
Yeah.
At least. Go ahead. You talk about the match if you want to. I didn't really have anything from it.
Yeah, I was kind of. I came into the match kind of wanting to see if Reigns would carry the match a little more than he did in SummerSlam, because that was one big thing with that SummerSlam match. It was all Orton. Yep. And he didn't really.
No.
But neither guy was spectacular. Kind of suffered from the, this was on a pay-per-view, and now I'm seeing it again.
Yeah.
So why should I care about it more than when I cared about it before?
Yeah, I have the same exact feelings. I'm like, I'm not really into this feud anymore. I've seen it, and unless there's a, something at play or at risk more. Like, this was Randy Orton and Reigns in a steel cage at just whatever event. Okay. All right. I'm at least a little more intrigued with the stip. When it's just like, oh, and that's your main event. It's the exact reason why I don't care about half of the main events on Raw.
You kind of could have flipped this and, like, I mean, it was great to kick off the show with that cage match, but you could probably have that
been your main event.
At least that's a more appropriate spot for something, like a big blow off like that. I'm going to tell you right now, this was stupid of me. Because the dates wouldn't really work and it wouldn't have been a lot of time. But as soon as that cage started coming down, I was thinking Ambrose the whole time. Because I've been on, like, we know now, we've heard now that he's.
What day he's booked to come back?
Coming back the day after Night of Champions.
Yep.
Yep.
I thought there was a really good chance that he was going to team with Reigns at Night of Champions. Because that would be a perfect way to allow him to compete at the pay-per-view without him having to be there.
Right.
To help build a feud. So this whole time when the cage is coming down, the beatdown, I was like, oh, that rift is going to hit soon. Mm. And it's going to be, that's how they're going to start the Reigns and Ambrose versus Kane and Orton or something.
Even when that cage was down, imagine if it was just like, oh my God, Ambrose also jumped from the top or something like that. If Ambrose got in the cage somehow and it was just like, who is that? That's Dean Ambrose.
What if
he's
he just
back.
Came down riding the cage? Like he was that would have been great. Like, suckers.
That would have been great. I was thinking that he should like run and crawl up the cage and then just kind of like fall in a frenzy like in his usual.
While doing
his
Super
Mario
like
World from the other side of the cage.
Wailing his fists everywhere,
Do you guys see Seth Rollins almost get impaled?
No.
As you know, there's those spikes, right?
Oh, really?
He's trying to slip out. I'll send you the gif of it later. But, like, oh, yeah, it, like, almost punctures him.
Oh, well.
That could have been really deadly. Considering it's not one of those things, like, I was talking about it during dinner today where, you know, I always, like, talk about that TLC bump he took a couple of years ago, and it was, like, Shield versus, like, Team Hell No and somebody. And he went through, like, six tables off a ladder.
Yeah.
And I was like, Seth Rollins died on that. Seth Rollins could have died here. Like, he could have been impaled.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. I did notice that,
it's
too.
It's only impaling if it goes through your head.
No, I think you're impaled if a spike goes through
you. I think that's
ya.
A definition
is it?
Thing. Maybe not. Maybe
I think that's decapitated.
You know what? No, decapitated means your head
gets
off.
Gets cut
pull
off.
It up, man. This is important shit.
We should say that Roman Reigns beat Randy Orton via disqualification when Kane and Rollins attacked Reigns after he countered the RKO, hit the Superman punch. So Reigns technically won this match.
Via DQ.
Then, the cage comes down. Chair gets thrown in there. Reigns starts to get a little momentum, but then takes the beating.
He pretty much.
Chair shots from Orton, the curb stomp onto the chair, and that was the end of the show.
I think Scotty's right. Or you guys are right. I can't remember.
I didn't really.
No, Scotty's right. Another one on the scoreboard for the Scottster.
Compared to the like 99 for us.
No, there's individual scoreboards. It's like Scott versus Warren, Scott versus Brando, and then you could even have Brando versus Warren if you really want.
I don't know what I was going to say again.
Fuck it!
All right. What'd you guys think of the show?
Pretty solid and raw overall.
It was good. It's
been... I think I like it!
Climb the old ladder!
Pretty funny!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yeah, overall, I'd say
what?
Way better in comparison to the past 2 weeks.
I know, that's the thing when
totally.
You're scoring
so
it. It's like, is this a good Raw or is
score
this a better
outrageous?
Raw?
Yeah.
I'll score this one at a 6.
I gave it a 7.
I was at a 6, too.
Because there's enough in here of, like, I'm getting enough of my mid-card storylines developing. Everybody got enough face or, like, TV time, I felt. Heyman and Cena's promos were really
excellent,
good.
Yeah.
NXT TakeOver match blew my mind.
Still, though, the fucking Bellas things. It takes me down probably a good 2 points.
I can tell that I enjoyed the Jerry Springer aspect of that more than both of you.
Yeah.
So
that, I like the dog pile part.
That might be the difference in point. Because I just like the fact that they were making it like a Jerry Springer show. They had the brick background.
Yeah,
like the,
yeah.
So
I thought it was funny how they had like the Jerry Springer font when people were coming out at that.
Yep. They did their best to make the most out of it, but still, those two girls are just
horrible. Just horrible.
Not believable whatsoever.
Still doing it. Like, yeah. What? Like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Don't give them the mic. Like, yeah. Anyways, whatever. Okay.
Fucking bullshit.
You can follow the. We got to do the news.
The news.
See, we almost forgot it entirely.
Hit the news button.
I don't actually have any. No, diddle
diddle. Yeah, you know what I'm talking
we
about.
We need a news button.
That guy was a lemon.
Okay.
let's go through this really quick. I want to go.
Yeah.
SmackDown sounds like it's remaining on Friday, as of the most recent report.
Yeah.
That is sure to be debunked soon.
Probably go back to Thursday.
Whatever. I don't care. I watch it on.
Yeah, I think it's. I think they're worried about the competition because Thursday is going to be a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, there's nothing on Fridays. Yeah.
Yep.
Lashley, I should have done more research on this. Lashley won his Bellator debut.
He did.
Oh, good.
With a submission.
Yep. I knew that part. Don't know who it's against. Read it. Don't remember it.
I'll watch
it. Yeah. It was nobody big.
I think it was Brock Lesnar.
It was definitely better than Dave's fight.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I'll check it out. Bob Backlund is releasing an autobiography, which I don't care about.
I'm not going to buy it.
Is it called I'm Clinically Insane?
It's called Vote for Bob Backlund.
It might be.
Boris, Photoshop that for me, please.
It's called
I'm Clinically Insane, the Bob Backlund story, and a picture of him screaming, please. Thank you, Boris.
Also, big credit to Boris for pictures of the week.
Yeah, he's back-to-back good ones.
The man's a genius.
Yeah, oh, he's made my day. Both times those have been texted to me, I've literally spit my coffee out laughing.
Can we give him the official title of SatPod Techie?
Sure.
Or there's something better, probably.
Picture Guru?
King of SatPod, I don't care.
King of SatPod, wow.
Whoa. I like to think that's me, actually.
What?
Okay. What else you got? Anything?
Nothing that we didn't cover during the show.
Wow. Jay Briscoe won the ROH title off Michael Elgin because there is a issue with Michael Elgin's work visa.
I heard about that.
Which is really unfortunate.
That was in Toronto. Yeah. Flipped that too, actually.
I can't believe they made a Canadian flip the belt in Canada. Like, because generally, Steen is always...
Yeah, work visa problem. What are they going to do? Just let him leave with the belt?
No. But the ROH apparently could have helped him with it. I don't know that much on the detail, but Tommaso Ciampa also showed up at the event and then immediately was escorted out. This is a good event, though.
Excellent.
It doesn't matter what you think!
Main event was the Young Bucks versus Red Dragon.
It doesn't matter!
In a 2-3 falls.
It doesn't matter!
Red Dragon retained.
It doesn't matter!
That's all I got for news. What do you got? Are you good or done?
We briefly talked about it, but I don't even know what promotion or date or anything, but JR is going to be making his MMA debut. And he's always had extreme interest in doing MMA, even when he was still doing commentary on WWE. Of course, Vince would never let him jump ship and do something outside of the wrestling world. But now that he's no longer employed by them, he has the freedom to do so.
That's been a super fucky relationship.
It's going to be...
Yeah, that's one of the most fucked up relationships in the business.
Like, they seem so amicable.
JR
seems to be such a WWE fan, and it just seems like he got sewered.
He did. It'll be interesting to see him on doing that commentary, though, because I feel like Chael Sonnen, who's a guy who's always kind of been like wrestling promo.
Right,
like
he
stole
line,
the Billy Graham line. And
he stole a couple more than that, too. I can't remember.
So I feel like Sonnen is going to try and, you know, make wrestling references and sort of bring it into the commentary, whereas JR is going to want to, like, keep that shit completely away because this is his first time doing a new sport.
Yeah, I just want to hear, like, one by God.
Boxing.
And it, like, and a knockout.
Yes!
That would be great.
Or like, oh, boy, they're just like throwing hands furiously. Listen, I want to be like, oh, it's a slobber knocker.
The term slobber knocker has never made more sense than an MMA fight.
In MMA, when two guys are just in the stand-up, oh, it's a slobber knocker. And by God, he knocked him out.
I don't think
so. Yes, yes,
what?
Yes.
You don't think he'll do it? Yeah, he'll probably try to keep that as most professional and keep that distant.
The thing is how much of that yes, yes, yes stuff is JR legitimately excited?
No, you're right.
And how much can he...
hold that back.
Especially when he has even less clue what's going to happen.
You're right. Yeah.
You'd be like, oh! Yeah.
Not like lean on it sort of thing. Yeah. That's just what he's used to.
Exactly. But he's so good at that. Like, he can make any match seem way better just by his commentary alone.
Well, and he's a draw in and of himself.
Oh, yeah.
I'll watch
it. I'm going to watch it.
Just to hear him commentate. You know what I mean? So I think it's something that...
Yeah, crush a couple brew, watch that, a fight.
That a Bellator would maybe even consider pursuing, depending on how well this goes, because...
I think that would actually help Bellator, not on top, but like keep them very afloat as a number two or three company in the world of mixed martial arts.
It's a good way to hook people too, right? They tune in to hear JR and then,
it's a face.
Shit,
it's a face.
I actually kind of like this. So.
JR's been on TV for WCW and WWF for like almost 20 years.
He did the XFL. I mean, he's a big football fan, so.
Fucking XFL.
Okay. You can.
Brandon, I can see you in like an XFL shirt, but just like. For mock reasons, just joking.
No,
like.
I never saw anything.
It was
can't
before my time, really.
Don't know who would have thought that was a good idea.
It's me, Austin. It was me all along, Austin.
Good setup.
Yeah, I was like looking down my list. I was like, I've used a fair few of these. How many more of these can I knock off?
That one always makes me lose it.
All right. Well, you can follow the us on Twitter at SatPod, SatPod. Individually, I'm at The Diesel Barris.
I'm at Brando 1990.
It doesn't matter.
That's not true.
I'm Brando 1990. I'm at ScottBox 64. Brandon, you should have went with a bit.
I'm Scott, you just got box 64.
Yeah, there you go.
Shut up!
No, just
okay. As soon as Warren jumps in too, everything just goes to shit.
You can send us an email like the Ric Flair did, satpod316@yahoo.com. Real original email that we have created for ourselves. What else? If it's rate, subscribe, review, iTunes, tell your friends, force it on people.
Start a podcast reviewing our podcast.
Yeah, start a podcast reviewing SatPods.
Sub reviews, I like that. Yeah. Just a whole new world of reviewing.
Oh, we would get torn apart. Yes. We are not very good.
No.
No, we're not.
All right, Scotty, you are on music. What would you like us to go out to?
We're going
to
go to the Sami Zayn theme.
It doesn't matter!
Man, a lot of rock this evening.
Which is called Worlds Apart.
The Jim Johnstone creation?
Is that true?
Probably.
Worlds Apart?
Yeah, it's called Worlds Apart.
They don't pay for any fucking songs anymore.
Okay. So take us out, Scotty, with your heel.
All right, guys. Until next time, keep on beating up Jerry Springer.
Woo!